Donna Hall is with the New Zealand Māori Council, and they are taking an application to the Waitangi Tribunal over the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. I thank you for joining us on the program today, Donna. Tēnā koe.
Morena.
Tēnā koe, Donna. Well, the council have been somewhat reserved in public comment regarding the COVID-19 rollout to Māori, or the lack of attention afforded it. What's prompted this move by heading to the Waitangi Tribunal from your read, Donna?
Yes, look, we've had a chance now to read the advice going in and the decisions coming out. So the impact of COVID on Māori is just much greater than the impact of COVID on Pākehā communities. That's really right there at the top. The government's policies exposed Māori to risks that we do not need to have taken. The traffic light system's an example. There's been no set target for Māori vaccinations. There's just one global 90% figure. So the Māori vaccination figures, which are much lower than 90%, aren't surfacing. Then we have the real problem of Māori children, our children 5 years and older. They have got to be vaccinated. Otherwise, they're going to run the risk of carrying the disease into their homes. So this is a much greater risk for us because our homes are overcrowded and not the same as Pākehā homes. And the kids will take home what they catch at school. Measles, mumps, chickenpox, kudu, you name it, they'll catch it. And now they'll get COVID. And the little ones are the ones who will take it home to Nanny. Nanny will die. The little one will likely survive, but we're tracking what's happening with long COVID conditions amongst Navajo kids. And what's coming out is signs of lung damage, but the most important thing to understand, as we see it from the Navajo Nation, is that kids that have pre-existing conditions, like health conditions like diabetes, overweight, rheumatic fever, respiratory ailments, all our children, they are the ones that COVID hits hardest. So we've had a chance to look at all of this. The government's ignored the anti-vaxxers, Facebook and misinformation campaign. This has been going on for 18 months longer than it needed. No one really, really took it seriously. And now it's grown to be as big as COVID itself. And we're all in the Maori world's been left to deal with it. So those are some of the issues. But the single largest personal Donna Hall reason for why I believe this claim is necessary is to discover that the deciders, let's call them the deciders, the people who make the decisions that count for New Zealand in health, they will ignore Maori expert advice from groups like Rōpū, Whakakaupapa, Uruta. These are the Maori doctors and Maori nurses. And now this organisation has got four co-chairs. It's led by four of them. You've got Dr. Rawiri Jansen, Dr. Sue Kringle, Dr. Teresa Wall, and beautiful Paparang. Now these four are the co-chairs of this organisation. This group of Maori professionals advised government 12 to 18 months ago to prioritise vaccination to Maori in South Auckland, especially into those areas where there's been high rheumatic fever. And then what happened? The exact opposite. Priority was given to over 75-year-olds with pre-existing health conditions, and most of these were mainly Pākehā who got it. So we lost a lot of time when a focus could have gone on an area of very high need. I guess that one shocked me. And so for those reasons, we won't carry on because you read it every day in the paper, Dale, but those are reasons for bringing the claim. You know, I've been asked over the last few days, what exactly do you want to get out of the tribunal? And so if I can say, the first thing we're hoping for is that we will get a hearing. Getting time before the Waitangi Tribunal is very, very hard to get. It's like getting blood out of a stone, really. So we haven't got that confirmed yet, but if it is confirmed, it will proceed from the 6th to the 8th of December. The second real concern is that the hearing will provide a forum to bring the Maori leaderships together, our form of APEC, if you like, a summit. So iwi leaders, Maori Council, Maori Women's Welfare League, FOMA, NUMA, Urutaumata Uruta, the whole of the entities that in this area need to come to an agreement on what's best for our world. And when we do this, we really need to take a page out of Minister Nanaia Mahuta's book, because she put an article out yesterday and she put a line in there that I thought was absolutely, totally common sense. She said, we absolutely must come together. She put it in her message to the APEC world leaders. Well, I kind of need that message to go through to the Maori world's leaders. And this hearing will be an opportunity for that to happen. So the claim's not aimed at embarrassing governments. The Crown, for example, isn't opposing a special hearing, and it accepts COVID-19, that in the COVID-19 environment, things are changing at such a fast pace. And what the Crown wants is to be best advised, to have the best information possible when it has to make decisions. So the key words from the Crown are, doesn't oppose, fast pace of change, best information possible when decisions are made. This is a really helpful signal to the Māori world, because it means in the 3 days that this hearing runs, the Māori summit must come together and agree on a single Māori response. That's what's got to happen. There has got to be a single Māori response that's got to be practical. It's got to go back to the tribunal, and it's got to be a very practical solution that we're asking for. We're just about into Christmas, and all the experts who do the modelling about how COVID is moving are saying that we're going to have really, really serious problems happening by the end of December into the January year. That's when we'll start to seriously see the statistics take over. So those are the reasons for taking the claim, and that's what we're hoping to get out of it, Dan.
And it's pretty sound reasons too. I think you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to see there have been shortcomings in the governmental approach. Of course, the tribunal only has recommendatory powers, not binding. Even so, drawing attention to those shortcomings is important. Do you think, Donna, too, that this is just another example of a patronising attitude guided by sort of an ongoing colonial mindset?
No, look, the Maori Council got pulled into a series of 3 Zooms that were run. It was organised at Arawhiti. Lil Anderson set them up. And they ran on a Friday, Saturday and night, Saturday and a Sunday night at 6 p.m. for an hour. And they ran before the COVID traffic light proposal was brought out. And there were 5 Māori cabinet ministers on that Zoom, and 2 cabinet ministers, Māori outside cabinet. 7 Māori cabinet ministers in a 1-hour Zoom. It has to be the most powerful consultation tool I have ever been a part of, and I have been acting for and representing and advocating for the Māori Council for the last 30 years, so I've been in a few meetings, and nothing matched what I saw on that Zoom. We've got to get that kind of talking table established while the pandemic is running. It's the Crown itself has used the pivotal words. It doesn't oppose because it's just so serious. They know it, we agree. But the fast pace of change inside that pandemic environment means we've got to have the best information at the table while the decisions are having to be made. And so I've seen a forum that could work, that a summit could work through. We've just got to see whether the other Māori organisations will come together and will sit together to accept that we're in a corner that we've never been in before, and we can't afford not to get together. That was Minister Nanaia's message to the APEC leaders. She said we absolutely have to come together. Well, she's right. Let's just do this, and then we can all be assured that at least we had a team at the table who we agreed, that is the Māori leadership groups agreed, should be there speaking for us. Because at the moment, there's too many Māori leaders and not enough decision-making getting through.